It's just me again. It's just Andrew. We're like running on about 25% of the Yo Is This Racist crew because Tani is still out of town and I am hungover as a motherfucker. So everything is going to be great. And yeah, so extremely hungover, solo. Producer Alex is in the booth. Engineer Jordan's in the booth. So I'm literally in this room all by myself. It's terrifying. This is Yo Is This Racist. We're the show that takes your racism questions and tries to fix all of y'all. My name is Andrew T. Co-host Tani Newsom is again. Someone on Twitter said that it sounded like she was filming a movie on a plane. I think I just meant to say she's had been on a plane. Anyway, still don't know what I'm allowed to say, but including the movie thing, maybe? probably shouldn't have said that. Okay, Tani Newsom, regular co-host, is out of town on a worky work thing. Yeah. But so between that and my incredible hangover, very good. Oh, that's right. It was my birthday celebration with my cousin yesterday because she was born 2 days after me. So I had too much to drink. Let's see. So what happened? I don't know. I've been going on this thing about racism news. What happened to racism news? I've been going on this thing a little bit on Twitter about, you know, everyone being scared of Asian people during coronavirus. Because that's dumb. I'm, you know, American. I haven't been to Asia in decades. And also, you know, the entire country of Italy just got shut down, right? And yet everyone's still going to their fucking Olive Gardens or whatever. Basically, if you're scared of Asian people and you're not more scared of every white person because of coronavirus, or at least the Italian ones, what if we bring back Italian-based racism? They've only been white for like 100 years, maybe? Maybe less? I wonder if that's ever coming back. Anyway, all the Republican people are very racist lately. They've been talking about, I guess they've been calling it the Wuhan virus to try to rustle up some anti-Asian stuff and to make it seem further away. So just generally, needless to say, fuck all those people. Oh, yes. And then the Olive Garden thing, the one piece of racism news we did have handy. And again, very, very hungover. Some fucking Olive Garden customer in Indiana asked that their server not be a black woman. I guess girl? I don't know. Yeah, the server's 16 or something. Anyway, asked that the that they not have a black server, and the manager complied. So, you know, same old depressing shit. I guess there is a thing where it does feel like we're crossing a Rubicon into, I think, you know, this is a thing that talked about a lot on the show, you know, closer to the election. And I think like probably definitely more before Tani joined, I feel like this was a thing I talked about a lot, which is like, you know, the kind of the while less overt racism is still insidious and bad. I just feel like we're, you know, just getting straight up back into overt racism times. And I think whenever we talked about it, it just is a thing where, yes, people being either subconsciously racist or sort of backhandedly racist or institutionally racist is bad, indisputably bad. But there's also an element where it doesn't like spread or once you kind of make it socially unacceptable to be racist, it's less likely to create more racism is sort of my opinion of it, you know? So like obviously our racist ass country continues to be racist, but it does feel like the, like making it socially acceptable spreads that idea and makes it more likely to grow and flourish, etc. Anyway, that shit is very depressing. This is supposed to be a comedy show. And no one wants to hear me talk to myself anymore. So yeah, let's just get right down to our guest. Tani and I got to sit down with Paula V. Ganahlen. She's so fucking funny. Let's just do this.
I quit my PhD.
Oh, snap.
Okay, let's go there.
Yeah, that's more interesting, I think. I quit my PhD in December.
Oh.
Because this...
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What was the PhD in?
Biomedical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And I did computational neuroscience research. Mm-hmm. But mostly, I just did comedy, and that's why I needed to quit.
Oh, yeah.
Those fields don't mesh, I'm guessing?
Not at all. Probably they work against each other. At least the comedy works against the research, because I shouldn't be doing any comedy. I should just be doing research. But I think the perspective from having a science background has helped my comedy. I think it's given me a different source of information.
I do like how you've gotten, significantly. So you have a master's degree already. Presumably. Is that how that works?
Well, you don't have to have a master's to go into a PhD, but I did get one.
What?
And I also worked in industry, but then since I bailed out of this PhD, I just got like another master's, which is like useless. whatever.
I only say that because I got an undergraduate degree in neuroscience enough years ago that is like 100% guarantee that everything I learned is no longer considered correct.
They're like, brains aren't even made of cells anymore.
Yeah. But
Andrew,
I got
you were
out
straight
of that
up
shit.
Like
early.
Electroshock therapy, right? Like,
yeah, basically.
Putting the little things on the temples.
I did my undergraduate degree in 1803 under the tutelage of a railroad spike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically
what. It's like cutting out lobes of things.
Yeah.
Just like, I think this works. Yeah.
Well, that feels like a better cold open than what we were previously talking about. So we should probably introduce our guest, Paula V. Ganahlen.
Hey. Hi.
Oh my God. Yeah, we got it.
Because, No, this is a better cold open. But okay, so I want to know, what made you go down the neuroscience path, and what, like, did you think you were going to be able to do comedy and neuroscience simultaneously?
So I'm actually
at some point.
So I'm a biomedical engineer, and then the research that I was doing was computational neuroscience. But my my degree is biomedical engineering. But I got into all of this stuff when I was like 12. I like started internships like on my own accord. My parents didn't force me. Everybody was like, your parents forced you. And I'm like, my dad wanted me to be an engineer, but he's a civil engineer, and both his kids are biomedical engineers. So we rebelled.
Mm-hmm.
But
fucking show him.
Yeah. Suck
you can
a
do
dad.
Anything you want.
Yeah. Like quit. But then, I went to undergrad. I actually didn't get into a PhD program. The first time I applied out of undergrad, and then I applied for a master's, did that, worked. And then I finally wanted to do a PhD so that I didn't have to do like wet lab work, so that I could do more computational stuff. Most of my research was all neuroscience based from high school. There was the work that when I worked in industry, that was like infectious diseases. So I was carrying around concentrated vials of HIV and chlamydia and stuff. So that was fun.
When you say carrying around,
like holding in my gloved hands, safety protocol was followed.
Not like in a tote bag.
No, but it did get messy in there sometimes, like with human plasma and stuff. But that's why I wanted to do, I was like, fuck this. I want to do computer shit, because I don't want to be carrying around HIV all the time.
Right.
It does feel at the time, you're like, okay, somebody has to do this work, and it's not, you're not really exposed to anything, you know, like there's all this safety, and unless you like, there's less than a 2% chance of you getting HIV if you inject yourself with a needle of it, you know? So it's like, it was pretty safe. But there is still this like, oh, like it's cool that I'm doing this. Somebody has to do this. But then I just got tired. I was like, I'm tired of having like lab clothes and home clothes and like feeling gross all the time. I'm just like, I don't want to, I don't know. So then I applied for the PhD, but then I started comedy at like the same time I started my PhD, and I didn't know I'd love comedy so much, and my passion shifted, and it was very heartbreaking for my childhood dreams because I had to let them go.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Why did you I'm going to say start late, although it doesn't sound like you actually started late. I started late. I didn't start doing any comedy stuff till I was like almost 30, I think.
My first mic, I was 26, but by the time I like actually, I did 3 mics in the Bay when I was working, but over the course of 8 months, and then I moved down to LA and I really started, and I was 27. So that, 27, yeah?
Hell yeah.
I don't know. I my ex was doing improv and I was like, you could do this. It was like the first time that I realized you can just do comedy.
Yeah.
And so I think it took me a while to figure out that you could just do it.
I think that my path
You certainly can.
Yeah. Oh God, any fucking idiot can do this shit.
They not all of them should.
Many of them shouldn't.
Right.
But you can't.
Many shouldn't.
No, I think that
you can do whatever you want.
I didn't realize I could be like a writer until I met writers. And it was like, oh my God.
I met comedians at Sketchfest. And before that, my friend did an open mic and he invited us, which is confidence. Mm-hmm. but once you see like your friends doing it, then you're like I hang out with them. I joke around with them.
Yeah. This shit ain't magic. Yeah. If anything, it's significantly less than magic. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And I think like 26, 27 is actually a great age to start because you know yourself a little bit by then. You know, you're not so young that you're just like, how about the food in the cafeteria, guys? You know, I think like if I had started comedy at 20, I'd be a mess. I would not be funny at all.
I think I think it depends on the person. Like I definitely have met some 19-year-olds that are fucking killing it. Like they're just so funny and they have a really strong voice already. But I also think that if I had started at 19, I would have been destroyed by every open micer. I would have like not known I would have maybe like died of an overdose or something. Like I didn't know myself well enough to have boundaries back then, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
To know the types of things that you want to talk about or what, like where your personal limits are with comedy.
Yeah.
And that's probably so much harder to navigate when you're young.
Yeah. Or just like knowing who to be around, honestly. That's one of the scariest things I learned in the first year of comedy. And I was a full adult. Like if I was a kid, I'd have no idea.
I feel like neither of us are stand-ups. I've done a little bit of stand-up, but I hate it. I don't hate it. But I hate it. But I think
you're the fifth most famous Chinese stand-up.
That is regrettably probably true, but that says more about stand-up than.
Yeah, that's so funny. Wait, are you the fifth most?
No, we're just like, by the time you can name the Chinese people you can think of.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm in the mix.
How much stand-up is there in China?
There is some, not very little. I think I would guess, knowing, you know, I'm from America. So I don't really know, but it feels like comedy in China is so different.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it feels like some vaudeville shit. It's like so physical.
Oh,
so like, you
okay.
know, it's like
comedy in India is different. I mean, it's still stand up, but I think like the style is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what you can do with it. I don't know. I definitely don't know that much about it. No, I guess I was thinking a little bit about how on this show, me in particular, probably more than Tawny, like I get frustrated with like the, for lack of a better term, like the brotherhood or the fraternity of stand-ups, like that idea that it's like nothing is more important than defending a stand-up's right to say fucking anything they want.
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. Because some shit's not funny.
Yeah.
Like, we all know some shit's not funny.
Right.
We've all said it in the back of our of open mics watching our friends say not funny shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
No, truly. I'm just
like, means you have no taste.
Oh, interesting. It's like that, sorry, of the, like, the funny is funny sort of argument in terms of saying any offensive or whatever thing
I feel like this is true with the woke versus fake woke.
Sure.
Right? Like I genuinely do think if it's funny, it's funny. But if it's offensive, like without any nuance, then it isn't
smart.
Funny. So then that's not really funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Or I guess not even offensive, but I'm just like, I often am like, that take is not as good as you think.
Yes.
Like white guy. Like usually by
Or some, you know, some of the older comics now have like weaker angles than I think that they're capable of.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disappointing. I'm like, I don't want to have to turn off my brain to watch you. I know you're better than this, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I don't know why I brought up stand-up, but let's get a voicemail going. Let's start with a voicemail, and then we will...
Let's do it.
We can talk about anything.
Let's
it doesn't matter.
Let's get into it.
Hey, guys. So my friend and I both live in a very small Illinois town. I'm white. He's black and Latino. My company made everyone work today on Martin Luther King Day. His company gave only the black employees the day off today. So which is more racist, giving black employees the day off on MLK Day or just being open on MLK Day? Thanks.
That is so funny.
What a funny, weird segregation. Like, you guys get to go home.
That is so funny.
You guys have to work.
I feel like that is the type of thing that I hear about and it sounds fake and I think it's never fake.
That is so
funny.
It
sounds like something we would say. Be like, yeah, fine, yeah, if you don't want to close down for the day, just let the black people go home. Like,
that's right. That's definitely been a joke. There's also been the joke of like, black people shouldn't have to pay for anything that has cotton in it. I think Felicia Folks has that joke. Someone else.
Sure, yeah.
There's that. I think that's hilarious. I think that's amazing. This is why all white people want to do 23andMe's. They're like, I'm just trying to get Martin Luther King Day off.
Right?
Just something. Just give black people something. No. What do we do? Which one is more racist?
Also, I love that the white guy called in. The black and Latino dude was like, I'm fine.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Don't call
I got some
in.
Stuff done around the house.
Yeah.
I want to know what the companies are. I feel like that would shed a lot of light. You know, if it's a whimsical type of a company, I think I like it. But if it's something weird, if it's like a hardcore like Deloitte or something, I think that's bizarre.
They're just like, and then what if they sent all the black employees home and then the white ones were just plotting when they mm-hmm. were gone? What if it's like men with women who are on pregnancy leave? They're just like getting ahead or whatever.
That's what they do. That's what they do every time we're not there. Every time
just
we're not here,
up
Alex. Just,
yeah.
Do you think sounded like more of a retail situation? Maybe. Is that crazy?
So you think suddenly, like, so you think you could have walked into
the Cinnabon has
Gap
to be open no matter. Yeah,
and, like,
I guess not.
There were no black people working that day.
You're right. That would be insane.
But then what if the black people went into shop because they weren't working and then there were no black people working? So all the white employees started following them. Mm-hmm. Like this.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And no work gets done.
And then no work gets
done.
Just
sort of like a school of. It'll sort itself out eventually. Just every white employee following every black customer. What could possibly go wrong?
They like start a conga line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or it's like, it feels like it would be like a low pressure center at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
You know.
I guess yes, I feel like I don't want to walk into a business that has no black people working there on Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
As a customer, I'm going to walk in somewhere and be like, where'd we go? What's happening here? It's very unsettling. So yeah. I think you need one.
Well, I mean, then you're not going to want to shop in Utah, I'll tell you that much.
True, true, true.
Which is where I'm from.
True. You know what's funny is that I've been to Utah a couple of times, and I'm always like, you know, probably a little on edge, but it's always so delightful. Everyone is so nice. It's like baked in that everyone's just kind everywhere.
They are nice, but like growing up there felt weird for sure. Because I just felt like different. So you can be white and you can be Mormon, but if you're not white and not Mormon, then it's weird, like growing up there. But now it's actually better. Ooh. Like Salt Lake City is more queer and there are a lot more brown people because of all these tech companies. But when I was growing up, it was like they were nice, but then it got strange.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I think I've talked about this on the show. My mom's side of the family, I'm unclear how cynically like became Mormon to like move to the States. Like they were in Hong Kong and they're like, my mom portrays it as we were like, yeah, we're Mormon. We just want to do like, my mom went to like undergrad at BYU and shit like that. But like, she's not really religious, but then her brother and sister are religious. And it is very unclear to me who's bullshitting about this.
Oh,
but,
there's
yeah.
Right. 'Cause you're like, we can
is
drop this
real?
Now, guys.
Yeah.
There's a common joke that's like, always bring two Mormons fishing with you because if you bring one, they'll drink all the beer.
Oh, yeah.
They'll watch each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit is like, I will say last time when I moved here, I drove through Utah and I was like, oh, I get why this seems like a good place to imagine God is talking to you.
Yeah.
It is fucking crazy nice out there.
Beautiful. I say it's like gorgeous because it has to be.
Yeah. What else are they going to do?
Yeah. The big thing is like the nature there.
Shit is pretty wild. Yeah. Man. Pretty sorry, beautiful. Wait. Quick. Yeah. Is it not Mormon, not white.
Yeah.
Does that type of feeling other feel more unique in a place like Utah that has like, it feels so insular? Or is that just my stereotype having never lived somewhere like that?
I think when I grew up there, I definitely felt weird. Yeah. Like there were Indian people, but it took until like recent years for the population to get where it is now of Indian people. But I definitely felt like relief when I moved to California. That's why I like LA, which is where I went to undergrad, was such a, it's so, I have such fond memories of it.
Got it.
I felt like an escape.
Yeah. I feel like I have the same shit. I was like, I have to get out of Michigan for reasons I can't really articulate.
Yeah.
I just have to go. Mm. Sure. Okay. So all white stores.
So this guy,
all white stores
this guy
on,
should quit his job?
The white guy?
Which one was he? He was the one where everyone had to work.
Yeah, he was the one who can't, he's like, and he said, which is more racist, which I think if you're giving black employees a day off, that can't be racist, right? Because that's like, because of the whole like systems of oppression or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And most that's prejudice, right?
You got this.
Okay.
I had a question more generally. Like, is it fucked up that Martin Luther King Day is considered clearly by enough people like as a black holiday as opposed to a holiday?
I don't know. I'm like, I have no idea. I feel like that was a significant part of the movement, right? I don't know.
Oh, the like, blackness of yeah.
That was like the whole thing.
I was just like,
it
I
guess we're the main like activists. Everyone should have the day off though, but I'm also like, it's, you know what sometimes happens on this show, Pallavi, is people call in, not necessarily, the name of the show is Yo, Is This Racist? But a lot of times people are just going, this is fucking weird, right?
Yeah.
Like
people
this,
are just kind of going like, I can't figure out what's weird about this, but this is weird and something's not sitting right. So I think that's more what this is. This dude's like, which is weirder, the fact that no one got the day off or that we sent only black people home? I do think it's weirder that they only sent the black people home, but it's still better.
That's still, yeah, I agree. I agree with that assessment. It's weird to pick out just the black employees and make them do a thing that's embedded in company policy. For sure that's weird. And but it is nice that they have the day off. It's so funny to me. It's so funny. I think what they should do is instead of sending everyone home, they make the problematic employees work double shift. The ones where you're like, come on, Ted, you know you can't say that in a meeting. Just make him work twice as hard.
The racist tax.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yep. That feels reasonable.
I like that.
Yeah.
I guess anything where any corporate structure is like, we need to determine who is black.
Yeah.
Feels anything, like a rough move.
Yeah. Anything that like, yeah, for sure. Anything that categorizes people.
Yeah.
Once they're working.
Especially in a corporate environment. Does that mean there's an email list just to those people? How did it go?
Or is it like honor system and they're just saying whoever's black, you stay home, you guys can decide for yourselves.
I bet they did something where they were like, they made it really like formal. They were like, the African Americans of like just like a huge description of it because they were too uncomfortable to say black.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Okay, so doing nothing more racist, doing just black people more weird. Is that fair?
Yeah, but all weird.
All weird.
Definitely
fucking
all weird.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do another voicemail. Sorry, caller.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. Wanted to get your thoughts about this. Me and a few coworkers all ended up at a bar after work, grabbing some drinks. One of the girls that was present, I'm not really close with. I just don't really care for her for a lot of different reasons. But she was telling us all how excited she was to move into her new apartment. This happens to be in the newly gentrified area of Denver called Rhino. And in addition to this being a huge gentrified area, plus the influx of people and the skyrocketing rent prices, our homeless population in Denver has increased tremendously. So she was also just expressing her displeasure with the amount of homeless people in the area and how upset she was that they were building tiny homes near her house. Tried to explain to her that gentrification, which she is contributing to, is one of the reasons why this is happening. She then doubled down and said the reason why all of these people are homeless is because they choose to be and because they want to do drugs all day. In the same night, she was bragging to us how she was so excited to start growing mushrooms in her home. How do you get someone to recognize their privilege of drug use or drug selling as a white person, as opposed to a person of color? Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
I just love someone calling in with a list of complaints about this coworker they hate.
Name names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, name them.
You're in Denver.
Call her out.
You named a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You probably narrow this shit down.
It is really funny. I was talking to some people, some comedians who like live in Oakland, and they're all white. And we were talking about like the gentrification issue in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, it's really bad. And I'm like, where do you live? Like Oakland. And I was just like, wait, but that's, we're all just sitting there complaining and being part of the problem.
Yeah. I feel like most gentrification talk almost always needs everyone to have a "but not me" asterisk by everything they say.
Yeah.
Like it's fucked up. I mean, not me, but
yeah,
the rest of you guys.
Or like even me, but let's not talk about that right now.
Let's not bring that up.
I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like an acknowledgement of like, well, you know, we've all been like working artists where we had to move into certain neighborhoods, and then when you end up becoming part of a gentrification problem, but it is legitimately the only place you could afford to live that was near a train or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like the conversation also sometimes has to become like, me too, but the system of, you know, the housing market,
yeah,
has left me no other option type of a thing. Then at so that, what do we do about it?
Yeah. Then at that point you have to like vote the right way or, you know, be more active. Ugh,
I don't want to vote.
I don't want to vote.
I do hate
this
voting,
girl.
Actually.
I like how, I mean, clearly the caller like sees the irony right away of this girl being like, they just want to be homeless and do drugs. Also, I'm growing mushrooms. I just feel like a real easy response is like, you know what goes great with drug use is being in a home. You know how you like being in your home with your drug use? These people would also probably like that, just to like show that this woman has.
Oh, get them on the drugs angle. Argument. Nice.
She also was upset about tiny homes, but I bet she's a woman who would love to have a tiny home makeover. Mm-hmm. I bet she's that type of person. Oh yeah,
she sounds like.
You know, she's got a whole Pinterest board full of them.
Hell yeah. One time I was in San Francisco and I was walking with someone and like a homeless person was like, we were all walking across a crosswalk and he asked us for change and we were like, sorry. And then the next person behind us, he asked for change and they were like, sorry. And they kept walking. But then that person behind us, that group, there was this girl who was like, I just feel like it's really inappropriate that he asked us for change. And I was like, I hate this city. Like, I was like, are you like, how far gone do you have to be
right
to be like this? It's just like really rude of this homeless person who's starving for to ask us for anything. Like, it's crazy to me.
Yeah,
the word inappropriate is so brain dead.
So funny.
It's right, like there's a lot of shit that's inappropriate about how we treat people.
For sure.
And asking, yeah, that's low on the ladder of fucking issues. Jesus Christ.
I just felt like it was inappropriate.
Getting to the bigger crux of the call was like, I feel like this woman hates her coworker. Is that fair?
She was like, this girl, we're not really close friends. Okay, I just know of her. I have seen her.
I have several issues with her don't have anything to do with what I'm calling about.
I can recognize her face at best. Uh-huh. She was just distancing herself.
So I guess my question a little bit is like, to talk about the end of the call is like, Do you even fucking bother with like a coworker or someone like?
I think
is
it's
there any point?
I think it's important to make people uncomfortable if they're that ridiculous.
Yeah,
because clearly until this point, no one has made her feel uncomfortable if she's that entitled. So I think if if you're there and she's she's being ridiculous, yeah, fuck it.
There is probably some version of a strangers on a train situation where everyone can sort of like report the racist in their lives, and then a rando will take it on to talk shit to that racist. And then if everyone passes their racist to the right,
pass your racist on,
then I feel like we can yell at every racist.
Yeah. Do you, how, so you, you were talking about the hand wringing of like trying to convince them. How much of your time do you spend yelling at racists versus trying to reason with them?
Well, I mean, we did outsource that portion of our lives to this show.
That's true.
So we constructed a specific situation. I will say, though, part of this show is that in real life, civilian life, and often in especially show business where power dynamics are fucked up.
Like, what? You don't, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't
about.
Always have, right, the option to just be like, yo, fucking whoever,
yeah.
you're fucking racist.
But I do also, like, I do think that there is, like, even if in my Indian people are racist as hell.
Yeah.
So, like, I've always been, like, I was very angry when I was younger, and that, like, but, you know, steam can only last you so long.
Yeah.
And so now I'm trying more to, like, reason with them.
Oh, really?
And, like, yeah, but it's because you don't, I do think that there's, like, the thing of, like, you don't want to alienate them too much.
Sure.
You want, if you actually want to convert them to, like, you know, not being racist.
Yeah.
But I, yeah. So I, for me, it's just, like, how much patience do I have in that moment? Like,
yeah.
how bad was my day that day?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be more patient because I don't know. I feel like younger people are really great at yelling at people, and I'm like, I'm getting older now.
Oh.
So maybe I'll fill in this part. But I still yell.
Yeah.
I still yell a lot.
My family's like, the bad parts of my family are kind of too far gone.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just like, what?
Yeah. So I that might also contribute to the fact that, like, logistically, there's no reasoning with, again, the worst parts of my family.
Yeah.
So that's why it's easy to default to yelling. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So I do that all the time.
I think you definitely have to say something, because I think just being, like, silent is trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandma is the toughest.
Really?
She's really old.
Well, yeah. Like, you've talked about that before, Andrew, because she's really old, or, like, I feel like this happens when, you know, if it's someone who's, like, your boss, or if there's just somewhere where it's going to make things harder for you, that's when you can kind of hedge and decide exactly how you're going to approach it. But I'm telling you, if this woman is a peer, if you don't like her, there's nothing to lose other than, like, just all you can do is correct her behavior. And that's actually, like, a bonus, because
fucking light
nothing
her
bad
up.
Will happen to you.
Hell yeah.
Light her ass up.
All right.
Yeah.
We solved one. Shit. What do we do now?
Yeah.
One more? Let's do one more.
Hey, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. I am a brown person that's kind of obsessed with the royal family. And I obviously see that since Meghan Markle became part of that family, like, all of the racist comments and commentary and stuff about her. But I also feel like she's not my favorite person. And so my question is, am I anti-black if I kind of feel a way about her not never kind of owning that she's black? She always refers to herself as a woman of color. And I guess, like, as someone who's mixed, I will claim my ethnicity before I'll claim woman of color. And I don't know if Megan has ever said she's a black woman.
I genuinely want to ask that question,
because
I have seen both sides where when I've referred to both black people and people of color as people of color, black people some people have been like, no, we're black. We have different struggles. And then when I've separated it, some black people are like, oh, you don't think we're one of you?
Yeah.
And so I understand it's like an individual preference. I think it's hard for me to figure out how to not erase the experience of black people while also trying to unionize with them. I don't know about that.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've run into both of these before. I tend to go with the, like, people of color is an umbrella term. Black is specific. So if you know someone's black, it's better to err on that side, because there is a lot of erasure of people just saying people of color and assuming that to mean black people, but maybe a handy way so that someone doesn't yell at you, or to lessen the chance of people yelling at you. People always find a way to yell at us, but to lessen the chances are maybe to say black and other persons of color.
Yeah.
Like, so that you're acknowledging that it's part of an umbrella.
I did that. And that's when they were like, why did you separate them? So that's that's generally what I try to err on. But maybe I should just be like, not white people.
That's genuinely, I say, I mean, not white.
Yeah, because like, I don't know.
There you go.
It always works. You know what you're getting at.
I have no, I don't know.
No, that, damn, I really that feels I about right. So I will say this. The other thing that struck me about this question at first, that then I was like, oh, it's not quite the situation. But, and this might be presumptuous on the Indian front, but so my mom is from Hong Kong, so she also somewhat, you know, British shit is complex with with I think some of those folks, because my mom is like way more, not my mom, I'm more my aunt, I guess, but like more into royal shit than I'm like, didn't you fucking hate these people? Aren't we supposed to hate these people?
I mean, but I think the reason that that maybe that generation is mesmerized with them is because they still have our jewels. Maybe they're just looking at that shit. They're just like, ah, they have all our beautiful stuff. I'm fascinated by it. It's ours. I'm drawn towards it like a moth to a flame. Because it's mine. Give it back.
Oh, man. Yeah, it really is just one of those things where I'm like, I don't know what to say to that generation other than like,
I don't know either. I think it's interesting that they're like pitted against when the caller said Meghan Markle, and then she's like, I'm obsessed with the royal family, but I don't like Meghan Markle. Like, it's like she has to pick a side.
Right.
And it's like, you could, I mean, I feel like you could acknowledge everything. You could say it's fun to look at the royal family's weddings or whatever, the drama of it, whatever you like, while knowing how imperialistic and racist they are, while also maybe not liking Meghan personally. I don't know if you hated Suits or what.
No, how could you hate Suits?
I don't know.
I guess that's characters wanted. How do you know you don't like Meghan Markle? Other than like the arbitrary thing we all do, which is say we don't like celebrities just based on like roles they've played, I guess. But like,
I think that's what she's doing.
That's a different thing, because you like the royals because of the role they've been playing, which is bland and rich and borderline useless. Like, what?
I mean,
what is your criteria for liking somebody?
Like, look at all the fucking popular shows. Like, what's the Crown? I can't watch something called The Crown ever. Like, I don't know.
You know
what I mean? Like, there's The Crown. There's just Downton Abbey. I don't know. There's just so many like rich white people shows. That we like, that the general public like loves, and it's just watching rich people fuck around. And so I think like she probably is like dissociated from it and looking at it as like entertainment, like the Kardashians or something. And they do problematic shit all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but
I don't
know. When you have an actual professional entertainment professional join the fake, like, entertainment.
No.
She's like, I don't like
this. I don't like this at all.
There's a part of me that's like, when people say they love the royal family, shouldn't you love just fucking drama and fucking crazy shit? Like, if you love anything about them, you don't love their claim to God to rule Britain and the earth. So what the fuck do you actually like?
What if she just likes the corgis? Maybe.
That's true. There's that a lot of fucking corgis. Yeah.
Corgis are they're smart as hell. They're cute. I support
little
that.
Butts. Mm-hmm. A little shaking butts.
Yeah. Wiggling.
But she was worried she was being anti-black.
Yeah.
But it's because she's critiquing Meghan for how she identifies, which none of the other royal family has to do because they're all white.
Yeah.
So it's like you're hating one of your own.
Yeah. I feel like putting Meghan Markle under that lens means you're being like, no one else like gets scrutinized with that lens in the royal family. And
I mean,
you're talking about
one of them has been associated with Epstein, and she didn't say shit about that. Isn't that a problem? Shouldn't he identify as not a pedophile? Maybe if he came out and said that,
like, that might be tough for him.
I feel like there's a bigger problem than her identifying as a person of color.
Yeah, it is. I think, if you're using that as the cudgel, then your shit is highly out of whack.
If you just irrationally don't like her, I almost accept that more. If you acknowledge that you're just like, I just don't like this bitch. Yeah. She's called Meghan Markle a bitch. Mm-hmm. My bad. I call everybody bitches. It's, you know,
you're calling
it's the
a
royal bitch. It's the
bitch.
Royal bitch, yeah. Right? Like the royal right, right. We. But if you don't like her, just say you don't like her and that you're. It's just because of your personal irrational preferences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Just be like, I don't like her outfits. I don't get it. I'm not into it.
Rationalizing it is worse.
I also want to say that like nothing that you've heard or read about her can be trusted because the media, the second she joined the royal family, the media has been skewed and racist and awful to her. So you not liking her as a product, even if you don't consume a ton of that stuff, you've consumed some of it. So yeah. You not liking her is a product of being fed like, you know, terrible lies about her and things that are driven by racism.
Yeah.
And wasn't it like, wasn't the whole thing was because William had an affair and then him and Harry got upset and then they blamed it on Meghan or like they were fighting with each other and then they blamed it on Meghan. Like she's
hold
been
on,
this,
you love the royals.
No, I love dope. Watching them fall apart.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like read way too much on Twitter. But like I think she was ended up being like the scape as more stuff is coming out as being allowed to come out. It's like she ended up being the scapegoat or yeah. Something. So it's like, we really have no idea what's going on.
I would say, I think a good way to approach it is like, regardless of who she is, when you just like many things, you know, you get sort of public figures or situations or fucking which movie at the Oscars or whatever, everything becomes like a fucking metaphor. And whatever the details or the specifics are, you just, there's one side or the other.
Yeah.
And like, guess what? Yeah. If you're on the I hate Meghan Markle side, like Piers Morgan's on your team and you don't want to be on that team. So I guess I'm on the other team.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's the triangulation I use, which is a coward's method, but
I just think it's fun that they said, I just think it's fun to watch anyone fuck with the royal family.
Yeah.
I want them to like take some jewels and go. Like,
yeah.
I want them to like ransack the place a little bit before they leave.
Give those fucking jewels back.
Come on.
All right. That's a good way as any to end the show. Paulie, can you tell people where to see, hear, read, etc. more of you?
Okay. Everybody get a pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
PallaviGunAlan. That's my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, and my website.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then I also run the facial recognition comedy podcast and show with other South Asian women. And it's all South Asian, Middle Eastern, female identifying stand-ups. And sometimes we let a guy do the work of hosting.
Boo.
Well, we don't want to work, so.
Boo. Oh, that goes back to the MLK question. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so take the day off. Take the day off to celebrate it. Dope. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Well, obviously, your boy, one quarter of the energy of the hosting team, needs to go crawl up into a ball and sleep for maybe the rest of his life. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks to Paulie for coming on the show. What else happens now? Go follow Tawny, Trondi Newman on all things. Yo, is this racist? We're trying to figure out. We're trying to get the Instagram back online. There's definitely been a technical difficulty that I did not realize what was happening. Anyway, so that will be populated once again. What else happens? 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. Podswag.com/yo. Buy me a water bottle so I can drink some water. I need it. And yeah, that's it. Peace.